Did you know? The Australian-Israeli lobby group, AIJAC, led by Mark Liebler, played a pivotal role in Kevin Rudd's removal as Prime Minister of Australia. In 2010, Rudd ordered the expulsion of an Israeli diplomat who got caught using a fake Australian passport for an assassination. This was just 7 years after Mossad was caught using Australian passports for another operation and promised to never do so again. Rudd's critical response led AIJAC, backed by strong Zionist Julia Gillard, to contribute significantly to his replacement weeks later. In his autobiography, Rudd reflects on a dinner with AIJAC's Mark Liebler, who berated him for his criticism, making a menacing threat about Gillard's rising popularity. According to Rudd, Liebler said, "Julia is looking very good in the public eye these days, Prime Minister. She's a great friend of Israel. But you shouldn't be anxious about her, should you, Prime Minister?" Just 3 weeks later, Julia Gillard, who never actually won an election, became Prime Minister through internal leadership change. Rudd says that the leadership change was at least partly due to his critique of Israel.
Input from CAN into the ATF. And the third and perhaps the most curious comes from Australia, from a private investigator named Jeffrey Hossack. Now, Hossack caused the U.S. State Department office in Melbourne, Australia, a woman named Sandra Stevens, who's a consulate official there, to send a letter to the State Department, which was forwarded to ATF. And what the letter said is, quote, "Howell," that is David Koresh, "was heading in one of the following directions: a final Jonestown massacre, an armed confrontation with authorities, or some bizarre behavior, such as an attempted assassination of a public figure," end quote. Now, how does an individual private eye in Australia end up getting the State Department to intervene with ATF to push ATF to launch this investigation and attack? Well, Hossack is not just a private eye. He works very closely with the law firm in Australia of Arnold Block Liebler. And the Liebler family in Australia is a family which has been exposed in the press there as a Mossad operation, that is Israeli intelligence. And that they work with the Jewish Center in Melbourne, which is an affiliate of the Cult Awareness Network and an affiliate of the Anti-Defamation League, the same network that Jeff was describing. And so from that, it's not just one private eye who's meeting with several former members, but it's an official of this operation who was reporting to the State Department, which then asked that the ATF do something. When the ATF botched the first raid, and the technical side is not of interest right now. We can take that up if people have some questions. In fact, there's much that we don't know yet about what happened on the...
Do you know which Jews have political power in Australia and why? These are some of the players you need to know about. There are many others. Davir Abramovich is chairman of the Anti-Defamation Commission, ADC, a former division of B'nai B'rith in Melbourne. John Gandell, one of Australia's 10 richest men, he owns the mammoth Chadstone Melbourne shopping mall. He is a major funder of the ADC and the Liberal Party, alongside other Jewish billionaires such as Anthony Pratt, whose family owned the Visi packaging company. Harry Triguboff is a prominent apartment developer in Sydney. Through billionaires like Gandell, who fund the ADC, Abramovich has access to policymakers in government at the state and Commonwealth level. This is how he is able to successfully lobby governments to introduce laws that favor the Jewish community at the expense of free speech in Australia. Manny Wax, brother of Avraham Sholem Wax, which is his real name, as Jews have a habit of using aliases. He was previously the executive officer of the B'nai B'rith ADC and also founded the Online Hate Prevention Institute. Jewish billionaires in Australia are working alongside dual nationals of Israel, such as Abramovich and Wax, to shape the laws of our country, remove free speech and align Australia with the apartheid ethno-state of Israel, which otherwise would be boycotted, divested, and sanctioned for Palestinian crimes and having a covert nuclear arsenal of weapons of mass destruction. The ADC uses the Holocaust narrative to garner sympathy from the Australian community. It's weaponized against the Australian public and against our interests. No other race gets permission to indoctrinate Australian children in schools. Not the Uyghurs, Palestinians, Sikhs or Kurds. Nothing is taught about the Holodomor, wherein mainly Jew Bolsheviks starved over 40 million Cossack ethnic Russians in the 1930s in Ukraine, which is the real Holocaust of the 20th century. Yet the fabricated Jew Holocaust is given precedence for the politics of pity. If Iran is sanctioned, so should be Israel. This is what the Jewish watchers are watching for. To use their power and step on any the questioning of domestic Jewish mischief or the international Israeli menace. John Gandel is the primary financier of Holocaust education in Australia. A large amount of public funds have also been spent by governments on Holocaust education and museums in Australia. Gandel should not have access to Australian children. Why are foreigners and dual nationals allowed to subvert our country using our public funds to produce Jewish propaganda to the detriment of Australians? This has to stop. The first step is to make the invisible visible. Share this and start talking about invisible Jewish power in Australia and the deep pockets money pulling the strings of our disloyal politicians and policymakers.
I wish to highlight that the last letter of the Torah just completed is the Hebrew letter Lamed, and the first letter of the Torah is Bet. Together, they spell Lev, the Hebrew word for heart. The foundation for learning Torah is to have love for God and love for all of humanity.
Can I say that the word Torah means instruction? And ever since it was handed down to Moses at Mount Sinai, it has been the basis of our religious and moral obligations, as well as our civil laws.
All of the distinguished guests who've come here this morning to share in this proud declaration of what a great country Australia is, with this first signing of a Torah scroll in Parliament House.
Thank you. And I will read this inscription, gifted to the Honourable Zetzer Selzer, Minister for Multicultural Affairs and Social Services, 2 November 2017 at Chabad ACT headquarters, with appreciation from Rabbi Shmuley Feldman and the Chabad ACT Jewish community. And this is the picture of signing of the final letters of the Torah in Australian Parliament House inaugural Torah completion ceremony, 19 October 2017.
Well, thank you, Rabbi. That's brilliant. Thank you very much. And it's great to be here. It's wonderful. We've examined here this multicultural centre, this Jewish community centre, but with a great multicultural feel. And I just wanted to, as the Assistant Minister for Multicultural Affairs, really express my solidarity with you and your community. You are very valued in our community, and the Australian government values you. And we know that there's been some distressing incidents in recent times. And obviously we condemn those, absolutely. Any sort of attacks on our Jewish community are absolutely unacceptable. So we condemn them in the strongest possible terms, and we just want to show solidarity with you. And I personally am very grateful to you for the great work you do in our community. So thank you very much for the gift, and it's wonderful to be here with you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you. That's a beautiful picture. This will take pride in place.
Now, number two, what does a belligerent occupation, in our case here in Australia, what does it look like? What does it look like, right? Now, I say, I'm not giving you the whole, intimate picture, but I'm just giving you a feel for it, right? It is, right, all of our parliaments, right, all of our courts, all of our law enforcement, right, which is the police and the prosecutions and so on. It's all of these local councils. It's things like the taxation office, right? It's also these banks and bankers, the Federal Reserve, right? Okay, it's not ours. You have United Nations contracts that undermine our sovereignty, and you have the World Health Organization contracts and covenants, right, that undermine our sovereignty. So that just gives you a bit of an idea, right, of what the occupancy looks like, what shape it is.
They're afraid of you noticing what's going on and speaking your mind and standing up, and you're sitting there thinking that you don't matter. Well, if you don't matter, then why are they spending trillions of dollars on trying to keep you quiet? Our voices matter. Our actions matter. How we live matters. And if we don't realize that we're falling into this trap,
we need to come together and do one thing: stop participating. And when we do that, the game is over. When we literally say Monday morning, we're not going to go to work. Imagine if 30 million people didn't go to work Monday. Imagine if 30 million people didn't buy gas on Monday. Imagine if 30 million people went to the bank on Monday and said, I want to withdraw all my money. They can't even give it to all 30 million because only 15% of the cash is available on hand at any given time. The rest is fake zeros and ones. That would collapse the banking system in one day. You see the power in that? You have the power. We all have the power. But what's keeping us back from doing this? Fear. Oh my God, if I don't go to work, I'm going to get fired. And if they don't participate in it, and I'm the only one that doesn't show up for work, I'm going to lose out, and I'm not going to be able to pay my rent. I'm not going to be able to make my car payment and so forth and so on. You see the trap they have us in? They have us in this system where we're afraid to work together. We're afraid to be like, man, we're brothers. We should be, link up. Let's do this together. So that's where we got to get to, guys. We got to get to the point where we're literally all on the same accord. And that's going to happen. We've got to get to that point.
If we want to get our country back under our care and control here, our custody, and to remove the belligerent occupation, then all of it must go. All of it. Not this or that, but all of it. And what does that all of it mean? Well, it's parliaments, it's local councils, it's courts, it's law enforcement, it's taxation office, because all of it, according to the entire body of evidence that has been published by some of the best researching people, I think, in our family, broader family, that I've just aforementioned, they say it's belligerent, right? They say it's illegal. They say it's all fake. They say there's no common seal. They say all sorts of things, right? And they prove it.
G'day, Aussies. Look, we know courage is as rare as rock and horse shit. But find some within yourself to get on and sign up for the National Strike. www.nationalstrikeaustralia.org. Let's end this belligerent occupation and take our country back and give our children a future that we want, not what they want.
Right. Now,